look around. You know what I see? Losers. I mean, like, folks who have lost stuff. Their homes, their families. And we're facing a threat that could destroy us all. If we're gonna save the galaxy, we're gonna have to do it together. Partners.
Why would you want to save
the galaxy?
Because I'm one of the idiots who lives in it!
Oh, what the hell? I don't got that long a lifespan anyway.
Hello, Jedi!
Why would you risk your life for this?
Because right now, life's giving us a chance.
To do what?
Something good, something bad, a bit of both.
I will fight beside you. I will destroy you and your world.
First, you gotta go through us! We're the frickin' Guardians of the Galaxy.
I'm with them.
I have a plan.
You've got a plan.
I have part of a plan.
What percentage of a plan?
I don't know. 12%.
12%?
That's a fake laugh.
It's real.
Totally fake.
That is the most real, authentic, hysterical laugh of my entire life, because that is not a plan.
I am Groot.
So what? It's better than 11%. What the hell does that have to do with anything?
Thank you. Groot's the only one of you who has a clue.
Oh.
Get your tickets now at Fandango.
Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard,
normal,
or expected. An oddity, peculiarity, irregularity, inconsistency, incongruity, a rarity.
Roger that.
Hello and welcome to the Anomaly Podcast. My name is Jen. I was one of a handful of audience members who knew to wait to the end of the credits, and I am an anomaly.
My name is Angela, and I'm pretty sure this nail polish is too pink, and I am an anomaly.
What was that?
Well, we don't do a lot of the other side of anomaly stuff, so I decided to go the other way. Huh?
You juked me.
It's very 80s, which is appropriate. I think I had some Lee press-on nails that were this, like, this exact color when I was, like, 13. What did we just do, Jen?
We went and saw Guardians of the Galaxy.
And we went to Alamo Drafthouse, which you've never been to. I didn't know that.
No.
So I didn't get to give you, like, the whole speech about it. It's different. If you've never been, it's really fun because they serve you at the tables. I didn't think it was that late, and it was kind of early in the day, so I didn't know there was going to be that many people there because it's a small theater. Jen and I got to sit together, and my husband Jim had to sit far away from us, but that was okay because it was a small theater. We did the 2D, which was totally fine. Well, do you want to give like a mini spoiler-free version?
Let's give a spoiler-free synopsis, a little review and analysis, then, and then we'll sure. Sound the spoiler alert, and then we'll really ruin it for
perfect.
Everyone.
That sounds perfect. Do you want to go first?
I had never read any of the comics.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first heard the buzz about Guardians of the Galaxy online, I was like, what the heck is this?
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't look interesting at all. But I went and saw Captain America Winter Soldier, and I saw the preview for Guardians of the Galaxy, and just the preview had me cracking up.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, I'm going to go see that movie. It looks hilarious. I'm going to go see it.
I was not disappointed. It surprised me. There was a lot more story there. There was a lot more depth than I expected. The movie was not only hilarious. I cried, I laughed, and I was a little freaked out at several points.
Oh gosh, I'm always excited for a new Marvel movie, and everybody knows that I really love Parks and Recreation. It's like one of my favorite shows that I watch on TV. Chris Pratt is freaking hilarious, no matter what he does. And when I saw him, I was like, I'll go see a superhero movie where he's the star. That would be awesome. I feel weird because every single person I know who's cynical about movies has been posting on Facebook, this is my new favorite movie. I love it. I love it. And I completely agree. I don't know that it's my new favorite, but it's definitely ranking up. You know, just to get a little bit into it without any kind of spoilers, we've been really hard on Zoe Saldana because of the Star Trek movies.
I felt not on her personally.
No, not on her personally, but it kind of, you know. I felt bad because I'm like, are people going to think that we're going to be mean to her no matter what? Thought she was awesome. What I liked about it was that you were able to be just enough emotionally invested, but then also it didn't feel like it was playing with you too much. I thought the humor and the tension were very organic. James Gunn, who's the writer, director, he did a great job. Is that good?
Yeah.
Was that spoiler free?
Let's give an outline for people who are like, what is this movie about? Without giving anything away.
Okay, because like I don't want to ruin the beginning because that's kind of a spoiler in itself if you don't know anything about.
Okay, so it's just about a group of people.
Yes, they it's a group of misfits.
Misfits, definitely.
It's not really like any of the other misfits. It's like more misfitty than other stories where it's like, you know, the X-Men, but they all kind of have their superpowers and they find each other, whatever. This is not based on superpowers of any kind. It's all just a group of aliens who don't get along and are kind of forced into a situation. I don't want to draw this comparison exactly, but the dynamic almost feels like Firefly because they all kind of don't trust each other. There's a leader. There's a guy who does this, a guy who does that, a chick who does that. You never know what any of their motivations are going to be, but that's what's fun about it. They somehow find each other and then they have a common goal. Go watch a couple of the trailers because it really conveys the tone. And that's another thing I really liked, I have to admit. There's so many trailers that when I watch the movie, I'm like, that has nothing to do with the trailer.
Yeah.
I feel like
they gave the best part away in the preview.
Yeah, or they give the best part away. I feel like now that I've seen the movie, the trailer really conveys the spirit of the movie, the tone of the movie, and doesn't give anything away. Kudos on that as well, because I think trailer making is harder than people give it credit for.
Or movies aren't as good as they used to be, and they have to give away a lot of stuff in the preview because they want people to go see
them. Or you get the impression that the movie's going to be a certain way, and then it's like completely opposite of what the trailer is, you know. Besides that, it's really good. Go see it. After you go see it, then you can play the rest of the podcast.
Engage spoiler alert.
Engage spoiler alert.
Shields up, red alert. Spoilers decloaking off the starboard bow. Yeah, that was a warning.
Again, spoilers, you're not getting another warning. This is the spoiler alert official on Guardians of the Galaxy. If you have not seen it, do not listen further unless you want to be spoiled.
The beginning of the movie.
Did you cry?
I was a little verklempt and I was like, what am I watching? This is not the funny thing that I saw in the previews. I didn't come to this movie to cry. Because it just hits a little too close.
A mother with a little boy.
Well, not only that, but my family has gone through, you know, recently cancer issues and people dying, so that was a little too close for comfort, but they quickly picked up the pace with the humor and they never left you feeling too sad for too long.
They didn't. You know, I don't want to keep going back to Star Trek, but it's kind of like the feeling you have at the beginning of Star Trek 2009, where everything goes amok and Kirk's dad dies, and it starts on this very low note. I had never read and I didn't know anything about Guardians of the Galaxy, and I kind of purposely didn't research it because I just wanted to come in with fresh eyes and see what I thought about it. So I didn't know anything about the origin story. I didn't realize that he's basically an Earthling. The main guy that Chris Pratt plays, the Star-Lord, he's an Earthling and he loses his mother. His father is somewhere, and they don't go into that until later, or they don't even really touch on it that much. His father's somewhere, his mother passes away, and then he's abducted by aliens, and he's like probably 7 or 8.
I think he's probably a tween, so maybe yeah, close to 13. 10 to 12.
Okay, 13. I can't tell. I can't tell anymore. Anyone older than Russell or... Yeah. I can't tell. Anyway, so yeah, maybe a tween. You know, he's a kid that was raised on Earth, and then he gets abducted by aliens. We don't really know what happens because it fast forwards like 26 years or whatever, and he is an adult, probably in his early 30s, late 20s, and he still has all this like Earthling stuff, but he's going after this orb. Things ensue.
He was captured by and a raccoon
captured.
And a tree.
That's right.
Or they tried to
well, yeah,
him.
This is what happens. He's mischievous. He's kind of,
he's
I guess,
a rogue.
He's a rogue. You know, he steals stuff for money. And then there's a bounty on his head. So these two bounty hunters go after him. And then somebody else is after him too. And it's Zoe. Mm-hmm. And her, you know, she has a whole story too. And so then they kind of all get arrested together because they're in this big fight in the middle of some kind of utopian society. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on there. And then they have to kind of work together to get out of jail.
Rescue the world.
And they have to go rescue the world because... with the MacGuffin. And that's so funny too, is that he even mentions about the MacGuffin, that this thing, here's the thing, that's the Maltese Falcon is the thing, and we have to do something about the thing, you know, the orb. So that's, I like that they call attention to stuff mm-hmm. like that, because it's kind of a movie trope or whatever. That's why it works. I just really love the use of humor, and it wasn't overdone. And I guess it was definitely a lot of my Futurama, Parks Recreation, funny, silly, lots of dick jokes kind of humor.
But it wasn't all like that.
I no, mean, it wasn't. A lot of it
very,
wasn't.
Very intelligent jokes.
Oh, yes. I'm not saying it wasn't. Like, yeah. It was all that, but just enough to be silly. It didn't take itself too seriously. That's what I liked about it.
When he called him the thesaurus and he's like, don't ever call me a thesaurus. Lots of stuff like that.
Well, but it also didn't take away from some of the more touching moments. No. And I have to admit, I can go to the more, to the girl stuff a little bit. I feel like extra sensitive when I talk about Zoe because of all of the heat I accidentally threw her away, not her fault because of Star Trek. But I was actually very impressed by her costuming. I thought they did such a good job. And I know that it's stupid that I even have to recognize this, but did you notice in the prison scene, she was literally wearing what everybody else was wearing. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like skin tight. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't cut at her boobs. It didn't show her midriff. She was just wearing exactly the prison costume that everybody else was wearing. And it just happened to be her size. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like all fitted and slick. And I don't know. I kind of like that. And it came up on her neck. It wasn't showing her boobs or anything. I don't know. I thought that all of her costumes were, what's the word I'm looking for?
Tasteful?
Not just tasteful, but also they made sense for what she was doing.
They were flattering, but they weren't like a...
Yeah, she looked like a woman,
and not that we have
but she
a
looked
problem
like she could.
With that because,
that's not the problem.
But it's refreshing to see that you don't always have to see a little boob.
Right, you know? And you don't have to always like be in a fight scene and get half of your shirt torn off, you know? I like that that just didn't happen. Like, it was just like she just...
It was more about the story and the jokes than what she looked like.
Yes, I did like that. And how they turned the scene around... Her and the main character are like kind of looking like they might get together, and she like totally turns it around on him, and she's like, "No, thanks. This is not happening.
I'm not
dude.
One of your dumb bimbos."
Yeah. So, another part I got surprised at. Go ahead,
Kevin Bacon. Footloose jokes, hilarious.
The Kevin Bacon footloose jokes are hilarious. That basically Kevin Bacon saves the town.
Yes. That he's a hero. And the joke at the end, I'm sorry, I have to, because it's related. It's like, what the hell are you doing?
We're having a dance-off. Oh my gosh, the casting was so perfect. He's just the kind of actor who can pull that kind of thing off and make you cry. And I have to say, when they go into the... somehow this orb, blah, 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 piece of the universe, I don't know. It's destruction. Somehow they get the orb, they go to a guy who's going to sell it, who they're going to sell it to, and the guy like opens it up, and it's, who is it?
No,
Vincent D'Onofrio? Who is it?
No. Familiar. I recognized him.
Who was it? It wasn't Vincent D'Onofrio. Benicio Del Toro? He's in the hilarious costume. He almost looked like he was from Fifth Element. It was almost that kind of weirdness in costume, which I did enjoy the costume design, by the way. So he's in this treasure room where he's collected all these treasures and he tortures people or whatever he does. He looked really interested in the tree, and I thought he was going to try to abduct all of them because they were all so weird, you know? And I was like, oh crap, now is this going to be like the real bad guy? And then when his servant like grabs the thing, I was like, usually, okay, you know me. I can see story things coming from a mile away.
I don't get invested.
I saw, like, I thought she might do something, but that was not what I thought she was going to do. I was so much more worried about, like what he was going to do to the tree and all this stuff. I honestly did not see that coming. I was distracted.
As soon as I saw her, you thought that's exactly
what she was going to do?
Because she was treated like crap. And I saw her looking at it as they were explaining it. And I thought, what is her motive here? And then it clicked before
she was going to grab it.
She was going to kill herself.
She didn't know it was going to kill her.
That's what they implied, that it was very dangerous and it destroys things.
Thing is, I don't think that's why she did it, though. I didn't think she killed herself. I thought she was going to grab... I thought she thought it was like the ring from Lord of the Rings, you know, where she can grab it and like use it.
I thought she was going to kill herself.
Oh, no.
That was what immediately what I thought is that she was going to kill herself.
No. She was grabbing it. Or this is maybe a debate because I don't think that's what was her intention. I think her intention when she did it, I didn't see it coming, but once I saw her do it, I think she thought it was like the ring from Lord of the Rings. Like, I'm going to use this against you. And all she heard was, whoever possesses this thing can destroy. And so she decided, it's going to be mine now.
All I thought was like, oh, she's just going to touch it to die.
Oh, no, I thought she was going to use it to kill him. Then she ended up accidentally killing herself. And then they all saw what it did. And that's the other thing is that storyline-wise, it shows you. So they explained what it could do. Somebody like, what's his face, gets a hold of it. And then he can destroy the world. But if somebody normal holds it, like the girl, then she dies.
We don't have any background because we haven't read the comic books and we don't know who some of these characters are.
So what else? And also the blue chick, she was mean. Women, why do you go after bad guys? Why? Don't understand.
You think she was into what's his face?
I don't mean it like into him like that way, but she definitely chose sides against her father.
It wasn't her father. He was an adoptive father, wasn't
Not
he?
The green girl. The green girl was the one who...
I know, but I thought they were both adopted. She said, he did this to me. So it was like a vengeful thing. Why would she go with the other guy, though? I don't know.
It's
just as mean. I don't know. That's a good point.
I mean, there's always got to be some henchmen. And I liked their fight and stuff, too. It was really good.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting her to get back up. And
I know, that was weird.
Push her jaw back in place and all that stuff. That was another thing that surprised me when the big guy... blew her away with the bazooka. Totally did not see that coming.
No, I didn't either. But that was good, though, because I was expecting the fight between the two of them,
and he just put it... It was kind of reminiscent of the scene in Indiana Jones.
Where he's like, whoa,
big old swords, and he just shoots them.
It's like, I don't have time for this. I almost wish, even though it was good for her to have that fight, I almost wish that would have just been the end. Like, all this buildup about this chick, and then... boom.
Yeah, she was done with.
I would have not minded that plot twist at all.
Interesting, though, the relationship between the main character, the guy, Star-Lord, and Peter, and the guy who had abducted him, who's like the ringleader or the chief of some sort of smuggling operation or thieves guild or something. I don't know what that story
That's
is.
That's kind of what
that.
Ravager is.
But you know what it reminded me of? I don't expect you to know this because you don't read Star Wars books, the expanded universe. There is a trilogy called the Han Solo trilogy. A.C. Crispin wrote it. She wrote about, I think she's the one that wrote, there was two of them, two trilogies about Han Solo's life. But in this one, he was an orphan who was picked up by someone similar to this guy's, you know, guy that would adopted him. I guess he kind of did, like, abducted him. But he was also a thief and forced Han Solo to do, you know, stealing stuff. He's really mean to him and just kind of like this relationship was in the movie. And it triggered that memory of that book whenever I was watching it happen. And also,
he
had a roguish, kind of a Han Solo Mal kind of thing going on,
but he still had his own thing
going on.
Yeah, he had his own thing, but plus that kind of...
And he was a really good dancer, too.
And he was a really good dancer.
And looked really good in tight pants.
He really did. You know, he had to work out a lot for this.
He was really buff.
Because all the time he's been on Parks and Rec, he's kind of just been kind of a big guy, cuddly dude. He got ripped, but he didn't look like over muscly, which I thought was awesome. Like, he looked like somebody who had to kind of keep in shape because of the type of work he did, but he didn't look like he had been like all giant.
Yeah, because they needed that for the dude who has cool tooling all over his
muscles. That was awesome.
Very cool makeup.
That was awesome. That must have taken for freaking ever. Unless they had little, like pieces maybe that they had
like an applique.
Oh, I bet. You know, I don't know. I don't know how they would have done that, but that's very cool. That was very cool.
I kind of hope to see someone dressed up as any of these characters at Boston Comic Con.
Oh, yeah. That would be awesome. Mm-hmm. That'd be awesome. Oh, we totally went over this. Okay, one of the things you were trepidatious about was the raccoon. And I think, honestly, that he's like almost stole the show.
Yeah.
I think he almost stole the show.
He did.
And because he was kind of the brains of the operation, seems super smart, seems super... thought, you know, was very quick on his feet, also knew how to fight, you know, had good protection, and I don't know. I thought he was a great character.
He was the slicer.
Yeah.
If you had like a... We never had this conversation. We promised the people that we would talk about the people.
Oh, our raid group. About the raid group.
Yeah, he was in
this
the
is
raid
a good
group.
Raid group.
It's a raid group. Yeah.
This is a raid group. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so funny. No, we haven't. We need to have that conversation. Yeah. Okay, we'll do it next month. Oh, yeah, good. Yeah. Yeah, they definitely had a good raid group in this movie. That's what a good group
makes. What was the
makes.
Tree's name? Groot. I should know it.
Groot,
it like
because that's all he
times.
Says. But he's kind of like Chewie
really
then
like
because...
He was like
because
Chewie.
Because he talked and the raccoon guy like understood him.
Everything.
Even though all
and
he
all
said...
all he said was, I am Groot.
I am Groot.
Well, you know, he would make more of it than it was. I'm not sure if he was reading into it.
Well,
he really
seemed to
understand what he was saying.
I think he understood. I think that was part of
his
language.
And he was a lot like Chewie. That's what I was thinking. He was a lot like Chewie because he was a muscle when they needed it.
Uh-huh.
And he could get angry, but he was also very kind, you know, when mm-hmm. he made the flower bloom on his palm and gave it to the little girl and cared about, you know, the whole group.
Yeah.
Took care of them.
Good caretaker.
So, yeah. I really liked that character. Groot dies at
Groot
the end.
Sacrifices himself. But I don't think
it's
he actually
not,
died, but I think it
not,
is
yeah,
Groot.
It's like, it's a...
a piece of him.
It's a cutting.
Cutting.
And they have it growing in a little pot. So it is him. It's not another...
It's not another one. It's actually him.
It's him. But it's kind of like one of those solar plants that you put in a window that dances.
He's so
dancing
cute.
To the music. And every time the big guy would turn around, he'd stop.
That was like the first little mini Easter egg.
Yeah.
So at the end, mm-hmm. and again, remember, don't judge us because we literally just came. I haven't done any research on this. This is just from watching the movie as an outsider, kind of. What happened to the main guy, like the main bad guy? So they were all like enwrapped in this thing. Peter was holding on to the piece of the universe or whatever, and they all helped him somehow. So what actually happened to the other guy?
They destroyed him.
They destroyed him?
Yeah.
You're sure? I mean, I assume that they did.
I think it was just watching what happened to them.
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. So. It's interesting, though. How do you think they survived that? I know he was going to fall apart until he held Zoe Saldana's hand. And that was touching because he...
Because of his mother.
He wouldn't trust someone else. Mm-hmm. And
but all of them together kind of...
And then they all kind of held his hand. But so they kind of like were a buffer to the
But I think
that
he was also,
taking on. It spread out. You know,
I got the impression, too, that the whole thing happened a lot quicker than it looked like it did.
Oh, yeah.
Because she was reaching to not only grab him, but also to get mm-hmm. the thing in the orb. That would have happened in kind of a split second because of how we saw it and how they put it together, that it all happened really slowly, but it actually happened pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But I mean, I guess I assume that the guy was dead, but he seemed to have some kind of extra power too, or he wouldn't have been able to, I don't know.
So if you know, let us
write
in, tell
us.
What did you think of the casting? I would like to say start off by it was really cool to see Glenn Close in this movie.
Oh yeah,
I liked her in that role, the part where she called him a prick.
Yes,
she hung up on him, or he hung up on her. I can't remember who was it that she was talking to.
Oh, was it the main bad guy?
I think so.
Not the main bad guy. Now I can't remember names. Let me look it up.
This is what happens when we don't research, but.
I'm okay with
but
that.
It's a right off the bat. We wanted a fresh perspective right after seeing the movie. So,
the soundtrack for this movie is amazing.
Yeah.
I'm high on believing that you're in love with me. Ronan, the main antagonist of this particular film. I also noticed too that a lot of the stuff they put out there, and obviously the end was like, the Guardians of the Galaxy will be back. Well, obviously, I mean, mm-hmm. there's definitely like all kinds of sequels and prequels out there because there's a lot of cool kind of origin stuff happening. Wait a minute. This name looks familiar. Oh my gosh. The blue chick is from Doctor Who, which we don't watch. I knew I recognized that name, and she's going to be at Austin Comic Con.
Cool.
There you go. There's that.
And who is it?
Her name's Karen Gillan.
Okay.
Very important to everyone else we know. Yeah. Sorry, I noticed that and I wanted to say something. Oh, also I have to say, and this is where my silly sense of humor, the whole conversation where, first of all, the look on his face when he comes up on caller ID on that one guy's phone and he's like, has that kind of like goofy look and he's like almost cross-eyed. And then also he's like, you got my dick message. Like, look, I am an a-hole, but I'm not 100% dick. Glenn Close asked John C. Reilly, well, what do you think? He says, well, I have a trouble thinking anyone's 100%. Yeah. It's like, no, that's not what I mean. Do you trust him? I liked all of those little asides, like kind of the useless, hilarious asides conversations, like when they're trying to explain to another name I can't remember. Sorry. That's what I'm going to do every time. Hooked on a feeling. I'm high on believing. Drax the Destroyer? With me. Do we think that's his name?
Drax.
Yeah, Drax the Destroyer.
The big guy. Yeah. Who was that? Who was playing his...
His name is Dave Bautista.
Under all that makeup, I'm sure is a face that I would recognize from something.
Yeah, looks like he's a professional wrestler. He kind of reminds me of all of the guys who played orcs in Lord of the Rings without their makeup. Kind of reminds me of that.
That size.
Oh, yeah. Definitely that size.
You know, speaking of Lord of the Rings, the guy that Groot sticks his branches up his nose reminded me of the cave troll.
Oh, yeah. Oh, but evidently, that was Nathan Fillion. His voice. Yes. I looked that up because I heard these rumors. And I purposefully didn't look at anything before we went. I did hear rumors that Nathan Fillion was in it. And evidently there was a whole bunch of other people too. I didn't have time to look up. And Bradley Cooper is Rocket. I really have enjoyed him because he's kind of like a handsome dude. And I've been interested to see the choices that he's made to not be the handsome dude. You get by on his looks and do all these like romantic comedies and, you know, make a paycheck and do whatever. He's been making interesting choices. Doing something like this, I think, is interesting and fun, and not really being in the movie, just being a voice.
Yeah.
Like I said, I think that particular character almost walks away with the movie. What a great character. Anyway.
He was the product of an illegal experiment.
See, and that's another interesting origin story.
I wasn't expecting anything like that. I just thought he was a raccoon.
Yeah.
I was thinking the whole time I was watching it, like, okay, is there a planet of raccoons? They are the descendants of actual raccoons. Like, I'm putting it together like a Planet of the Apes story.
Yeah. Did you have anything else, like, for the movie itself? Really excited about how it ended. It's definitely going to have some kind of...
Let's ask ourselves some questions. Would you have recast anyone? Were you happy with the actors who played the roles? I would say perfect.
I would say pretty much 100%.
Is there anything about the story that you thought could have been different?
Honestly, no. I feel like as soon as this thing comes for sale, I'm going to buy it. Actually, buy it. I'm not just going to get it on Amazon. I'm going to buy it. I'm going to buy digital, and I'm going to buy regular, and... And I'm going to have Blu-ray, and I'm going to watch it over and over.
I think I'm probably going to go see this with Dave, because he stayed home and watched Our Boys for us while
Dave
went. And yes, he was very awesome to do that. So I want him to be able to see it. He would enjoy it, I think.
Yeah.
But the only thing that I didn't like about the movie was the stone, the
reason for the whole movie.
The whole plot, the thing that's going to blow up the universe, because... done to death. Everything's going to blow up the universe.
So we don't know anything about the comic. So
no.
It's possible that is something...
Maybe it's just a weak part of the comic.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's certain things that don't bother me that much. And the reason why it didn't, honestly, was because they called attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
He called attention to the fact that it felt very MacGuffin-y. That's what you're upset about. It's a trope. It's a MacGuffin trope. This is something. It's a suitcase from...
Upset about it.
Not upset, but like that's what disappointed you. Is that it's the suitcase from Pulp Fiction. It's like, what is it? Is it real? Well, at least it actually had some sort of real power. At least it had like a real... It was weird and maybe overdone, but at least it had something. There was something about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Or the ring, or, you know, whenever you have a grand story, there has to be some sort of grand force working against you. Oh, what was it that was the connection between Avengers?
The name of one of the characters, I think.
Was it? It was the end of Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
Thanos Vizier the other. I don't know. We have to look that up. Write in and tell us how stupid we are. Was he also in something else in Winter Soldier?
I don't think so. I don't recall. I mean, and I stayed and watched the end of Winter Soldier 2 after the credits, and
no,
I don't recall. I never caught the tie-in. But that's what Jim said, that something...
Yeah, there was
a callback, or maybe it was just an homage.
Okay. I don't know. We'll have to look that up.
Yeah.
And honestly, I have to catch up. I have to watch Iron Man 3 and Winter Soldier and the Thor versus Loki, or Loki and Thor, or whatever that is. I need to catch up on my Marvel stuff so that I can see how all these things are threaded together. Bad nerd. So the Easter egg.
Yes.
What? I don't even know.
The dude you were talking about that owns the zoo.
And
the
it is Benicio del Toro.
It's Benicio del Toro. In his museum or whatever he has with all these people that used to be caged, or these aliens and creatures they had in display cases, they were completely destroyed whenever his slave grabbed the stone.
Right.
So he's sitting there amidst all this destruction, and I think he's like sipping something or drinking something. And one of his curiosities is one of the dogs that were, I guess, sent up during the
NASA missions
when they were first experimenting with whether or not people could survive in space.
Yes.
And they sent up chimps, they sent up dogs, whatever. A cosmonaut. I guess the Russian space organization also did that. The dog was in some sort of like astronaut suit with a helmet on, and it comes over to him and licks his face. Like it didn't go away. I was actually excited when he was the first one out.
Yes.
Like, run, dog, run.
But where's the dog going to go?
It slams his head down, and the helmet, the visor on the helmet came down. Anyway, he comes back and he licks the guy's face.
And he's having a drink.
And you hear somebody in the background going, I can't believe you let him lick your face. And it's Howard the Duck.
Howard the freaking Duck. What the crap? That was really weird.
In the grand scheme of things, not so weird. I mean, you have a talking raccoon and a lot of 80s references.
It's universally accepted as like one of the worst films of all time.
Absolutely the worst. It was like we had a talking raccoon in this movie, but it wasn't Howard the Duck. See the difference between the two?
No. I didn't have a problem with the talking raccoon. But that was very interesting.
This is how you do it well.
Didn't
George Lucas make Howard the Duck?
He did. I think he produced it.
Okay. Well, we could have put that in our People versus George Lucas.
That was interesting though. Whatever.
I liked it.
And
I liked all the 80s songs. And
The songs were amazing.
References to
the dancing, everything was good.
Footloose and...
Yeah, the Kevin Bacon stuff was great.
I'm sure there are people who don't remember listening to cassette tapes. I do. I made mixtapes. And they would not last that long if you played them as much.
Also,
you have to
think that he somehow found a renewable source of batteries.
I was like, where are the batteries?
He's been in space. He has all this technology. He probably has some good batteries.
I'm sure they had something, the little sponge things, those would have been gone. It would have just been the...
I had that thought as well. But again, he has like technology.
Yeah, I know. It's just my thought process.
I know.
I'm not... Like,
I have a tape player, a Walkman that still works.
Yeah.
I do.
Those things would get nasty too.
It would, but that's not the point. I saw that too, but you know, suspend your disbelief.
I love the little curiosities that he had with him.
Just from his backpack.
There was a NASA patch. There was an American patch. There was a troll, one of those little toys. What were they called? I can't remember. They had the
crazy dolls.
Hair.
They're just called troll dolls.
Yeah, troll dolls. Which was in the little sphere that he gave to his...
Which that's the guy from Walking Dead. Michael Rooker.
Okay. Well, he opens up the sphere after
he thought that he got it.
And that was an interesting expression on his face. He looked proud.
In a way, yeah. Also, I'm proud of him because he kind of Indiana Jones the thing and gave it to the people. He didn't keep it.
Yeah, you made a point that, was it in this movie or something that David and I watched where, I think I may be blending the movies, but where he's running and saying, go, start the engine. And he jumps in.
Maybe. Yeah, he did do that.
Yeah.
And he, that is, yeah.
That, you know, the part where they're because running out of the temple and there's the guy in the back with the
snake.
Oh,
yeah. And they go, because he has to go back for his Walkman. Mm-hmm. And they're like, just start it. Do it without me. And another bait and switch because he took the orb. They're like, oh, we don't have the orb. We can't leave.
Yep.
So I knew
the type of people they were. So
I like how, because of course I've seen the preview, so I knew how they were all going to be together. When it first started, I was like, how is this group of people possibly supposed to be together. But I like how they did it at first. They want to collect the bounty on him, so they're going to try to keep him safe. Mm-hmm. And so that made sense. And then she kind of had her own motivation. So that made sense why she wanted to, you know, so it was like, okay, I'll go along with this. I'm good.
I was expecting her to turn on them, like,
Especially after I heard like the whole, her whole story.
Yeah.
Nah. I mean, of course she may. But that happens in a lot of group superhero things where one of them goes evil. I mean, that happened. Hawkeye did it. Not his fault, but he did. We do have a rating scale. We haven't done too many movies like this.
No, we haven't. How many Gamma Quadrant golf claps would you give it?
Oh, that's perfect. But on a scale of 5, I think that makes more sense for movies. 5.
I would too.
I would.
Let's do it.
All right.
And if you don't know, you can't see us using the Gamma Quadrant golf clap. It's the back of one hand against the palm of the other.
And it is from a random episode of Star Trek.
The Next Generation.
The Next Generation.
The one with the fish people, right?
It's the one with the fish people. And I think they're watching Data do a performance of some sort. And they all do a very polite clap. Mm-hmm. And it's funny. I don't know. It's just now it's become a thing.
Yeah. We've been doing it since the beginning.
Yeah. Game of Quadrant 8 years. Clap. That's anyway.
Okay, so that's the end of our review. Did you want to talk about our Comic-Con thing?
Sure.
Before we move on to the second half of our show, here's what our listeners thought.
Printing out emails. Here come the emails being printed out.
Hey, Jen and Angela, this is Rico from the Treks in Sci-Fi podcast, and I saw Guardians of the Galaxy over the weekend. It was fantastic. It was so great. I don't even know how to explain how big of a smile I had while I watched it afterwards.
Quit smiling. You're supposed to be a professional.
And it was just a fun, really great, rollicking, fun time at the movies. Very swashbuckling, very sort of Star Wars-esque, and it's just a lot of fun. You know, there are so many really serious TV shows and movies these days, and some of them are really great. But you know, sometimes it's just great to have a very solid, fun movie. And this isn't what I would describe really as a popcorn movie like a Transformers. This has got a good story, a great cast, and just some really wonderful parts and moments in it. I just loved it. It was great.
That is true.
It's clever and epic.
That is also true.
I mean the, you know, all the cast, all the characters were just so much fun. I've actually read the comics for a little while, but I've heard from other people that are not familiar with the comics, this movie is just as much fun for them as well. I got kind of a little kick out of it more at certain parts because of what I know from the comics. But this was sort of a unique and individual story. It's not like they retold one on the comics. But anyway, great, great movie. I think I've heard that you guys both enjoyed it, and I'm glad. Tell all your friends, go see Guardians of the Galaxy. It is a blast.
You're welcome.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Rated PG-13 in theaters Friday.
Hey, Jen and Angela, this is Casey from the Anomaly Supplemental Podcast and your general real-life friend. Kevin and I went to see the Guardians of the Galaxy last night, and since you two have already recorded a review about the movie, I thought I'd send in a quick comment about what we both thought. And since Kevin is podcast shy, I'm just going to share his opinions for him. So we both loved the movie. We both think it's one of the best films of the year. Even though the year is yet to be over, Kevin personally thinks that the film is better than The Avengers, which I don't think it's fair to compare the two because Avengers covers pretty much the A-list superheroes, whereas I had never heard of Guardians of the Galaxy until the film was announced, and for the sake of going in with fresh eyes, I avoided spoilers and looking up the wiki and all that stuff. So it was interesting to see how these heroes that I had never heard of fit in with the Marvel mythos. So, definitely love the movie. The ensemble cast was great. I'm not going to go too much into detail about those because I'm sure you guys are going to cover the amazingness that is Chris Pratt and Zoe Saldana and Bradley Cooper and Vin Diesel. But, yes, also wish I could comment about the end credit scene, but I can't because I don't want to spoil it in case anybody wants to know what it is, but you might be spoiling that anyway. So I'm going to end it there. Love the movie. Highly recommend. Looking forward to hearing your comments about it. Hope you enjoyed listening to mine, and I will talk to you ladies later. Bye.
Greetings and salutations, Angela and Jen. This is Scott. Just wanted to sit down and record a little message to you guys about the Guardians of the Galaxy. Because I have friends who can't seem to all get together at the same time, I actually went and saw this movie twice. Once was in the regular 2D showing. The second one was in the 3D showing. I'm going to try not to spoil anything because, well, I don't like it when people spoil it for me. So if I do, please forgive me. But I'll definitely try not to do any spoiling. Of course, Guardians of the Galaxy is not known by a lot of people. Even guys like me who are into comics have heard of it, but maybe have not actually read the entire, not even the entire run, maybe even just one comic. I know I had to do research on it, but as soon as I did, I was like, okay, this is going to be good. This is going to be different. This is definitely not Thor or Iron Man or even the Avengers. These are the other guys. Not a movie that I would necessarily take a kid to. Even though I don't have kids myself, it was one of those movies that I could see, and thankfully there weren't a lot. There weren't anyone there who had kids, at least in the second showing. In the first showing, I thought I could hear a couple of kids, but not too many. I was totally blown away with not just the voice acting, but also the CGI work on Rocket and Groot. Of course, having Vin Diesel just saying, "I am Groot," with different tonal inflections always kind of makes you chuckle. And, Bradley Cooper definitely brings to life Rocket. And I do have to say that Rocket is actually my favorite. Star-Lord is, of course, the one you're supposed to relate to, but it ends up being Rocket who really just kind of brings it all together that, we are all different. And that's okay, even if we are a short, temperamental raccoon who's been engineered so that he can talk. Anyways, yes, definitely go and see it. There's a lot of surprises. And, of course, people, we all know this by now, so I don't have to say it, but I am. Stay till the end. I mean, like, the end. Like, as you see the final seals from all the different associations that have put their stamp of approval, stay to that. We all know this. We don't need to be told. But evidently we do. In both theaters, there were people who, just as soon as the movie was over, got up and walked out. And it's like, hello, we've been trained. So definitely if you haven't seen it already, go and see it. It's a movie that is going to be good to see and watch. And even later on, own it on DVD if it comes out. So anyways, as always, you'll be playing this at the end. And just wanted to let you know that whatever your opinions are, greatly appreciate hearing them and all that. So we will let you go and holler at you next time. Bye.
Thank you to everyone who sent in a comment. Everybody's got an opinion. What's yours? We'd love to hear it, and there are several ways you can send them to us. You can visit our website at anomalypodcast.com. That's anomalypodcast.com. There's a widget there that you can use to record your audio comment. You can also email us through the contact page or find our social media links at the top of the page. You can also call us at 432-363-4742 and leave a voicemail. And last but not least, you can record your comment on your smartphone and email it to us at girlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks@gmail.com. We hope to hear from you, and thanks again to everyone who sent their comments.
Yeah, we can talk about that real quick.
Okay.
So that's the end of our review. Yesterday, we did something we have never really done before. We went to Comic-Con and we brought our chillins.
In San Antonio Comic-Con.
Our little babies with us.
Which was the first Comic-Con they've ever had in San Antonio.
Mm-hmm. And well, they have other Comic-Con. Well, they have Alamo City Comic-Con.
It's the first Wizard World Comic-Con.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is what we're used to going to in Austin. So it was a similar setup. It was a lot smaller.
Not very crowded.
Nice. And we didn't go in costume. I had a t-shirt on, you wore an Anomaly shirt. And what we did for this one was we were very lucky that all of our kids independently, Aaron and Russell, and then Sith Jen, her two youngest, decided they wanted to do Star Wars. And so we had a female Han Solo, we had an Anakin, we had a Obi-Wan, and we had a Padme. And they were little rock stars.
They were.
I say.
They rocked it. They won Comic-Con.
They definitely won Comic-Con. They were so
cute. We couldn't go like three steps without someone asking to take pictures. And that was nice. I'm glad that people asked.
They did. They did ask.
I saw one person randomly taking pictures, which was kind of creeping me out.
Right. But I understand though sometimes because it's like.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But, you know, the San Antonio Express, the San Antonio Current, and the local, one of the local news stations all asked if they could take pictures
that
of
was,
them.
That was cute. But they were stopped all the time.
Yes.
And they ended up so adorable.
Out.
They did.
Got a little burned out. And they would be like,
the paparazzi.
At first they were posing. Because if you're a part of our Facebook group, you'll see there are pictures and video of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they got into it. Like, I put up a little video clip of Russell and Aaron posing because they were the first two to get there. We hadn't seen
the other
our
kids.
The other kids yet, and they were really getting into it. They were posing poses, and they were, you know, dueling and crossing blades. And by the end of it, my kid's holding the lightsaber by the blade, and yours is just kind of staring
into space.
And then we started telling people, "No, I'm sorry, they're done.
Yeah.
They're just having fun."
But they were. I thought they were troopers. They did a really good job. And
I had to tell mine like. I didn't know that he thought this until afterwards. He said at the end of the day when I was tucking him in, he said, I didn't like the people that were laughing at me. And I said, they weren't laughing at you, baby. They were laughing because you made them happy. You made their day. Like, there's one picture which I took of him where there's this little bitty kid who's probably about 2 years old that was just enamored with the lightsabers. Just like the one at Austin Comic Con, all the little kids that were enamored by mine and Jen's lightsabers. They were coming to the kids and Aaron. He was being very patient with them and letting them hold his lightsaber. And then he would tell them, now don't hold this part because it'll burn your hand off. You got to hold the handle. So I thought that was cute.
Cute.
And I said, you made that kid's day. Afterwards, he was like, I like Comic-Con. Can we go back? It was great. I think it was really well done. I don't think they're on schedule for next year yet. So hopefully the numbers were high enough that they'll have another one next year. And if they do, I think this is a good size one to bring kids to.
I did go to one panel. Stephanie and Jed and I went to a panel about women. It was actually the same panel we wanted to go to it last year at Austin and we didn't get a chance to. And it was just interesting. I think the funny part, and they drew attention to it, but it was still kind of weird, was that the panel was one chick and three dudes. And it was a panel about women. I don't want to get all weird about it because I don't usually, but I was like, really? Really?
Can we not have some more ladies?
Really? I mean,
talking about gender issues in science fiction and you can have a panel of dudes.
Seriously.
And one of them was complaining, right? About the gender
role. Well, and one of them was like over it. And it was really weird because I think I definitely think all of them had points, and they all had been working on projects, I guess, mm-hmm. that had strong female characters. And I think that was awesome. I mean, I think that they all definitely like brought something to the table, but seriously, there's not like one more chick.
Personally, I didn't go to it, but I think it should have been all women.
It should have been all women. Now, I do have to say one guy that sat was actually really good. Like mm-hmm. he is a writer and I really liked him. I think like it would have been okay to have maybe three girls and one guy, you know, to kind of offer a counterpoint. But it's just so funny to me when, like just the whole point of the panel is like, well, this is the problem.
Hello, McFly. But let me just say, even if you had a panel of all women, they could all have different opinions.
Sure.
We do. There could be a counterpoint made by women.
Sure. Well, and I did that. I raised my hand and said something about it. And, you know, I even said, you know, I'm playing devil's advocate here, but some of these things that they're doing, could it be kind of a gimmick? Like, oh, look at our new female Thor or whatever. And it was interesting. And I like to hear what they have to say about that kind of stuff. And that was the only panel I had a chance to go to because we were pretty focused on the kids having a good time. Yeah. And we usually do a lot more of that stuff when we go to Austin. We'll, of course, have a report from that in a few months. But it was good, though. And I have to say, just in general, I thought the San Antonio Convention Center did an awesome job.
Mm-hmm. Better than Austin Convention Center.
Bless their hearts, yes.
It was more organized, I think. And maybe it's because it's a smaller scale.
Yeah, but at the same time, there was more concessions for maybe half the amount of people or less. Places to sit down
but
and eat.
But the space was bigger because the con was smaller. There was enough room for that.
But again, like one concession in Austin.
Yeah.
There were two giant concessions plus a bunch of drink spots.
Yeah, that's true. There was one drink spot in Austin.
One drink spot and one concession.
And in San Antonio, I only saw the one. Was there another one?
There were two
on the
concessions.
The
and then there was that one when you come into the convention center. Yeah. And when you went upstairs, there was like a separate little kiosk. Like
they had
like,
it handled.
Kind of like an airport mm-hmm. one where it's just a little kiosk with some like fruit and stuff. Yeah. And it was like, okay. And it wasn't just really crappy pizza. And sodas. And it didn't, you know, I waited in the line.
Salad that was wilty and warmish.
No, it was really good.
Awesome.
It wasn't all gourmet, but I just wanted to say.
Because the lines weren't very long, it went really fast. I bought my ticket online, so I just went right up to the fast pass window,
I guess,
or whatever it's called. And instantly, and the sticker for Aaron was just free. His mm-hmm. admission was free with my ticket.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I didn't think that was the case.
Under 12.
Okay, under 12.
Every paid ticket for the day. Mm-hmm. Under 12 gets it. You can have two kids under 12 with you. Yeah.
That's cool. Is that the way it is in Austin
too? Yep, that's the way it is in Austin too.
Cool. Yep. So you know what I think we should do?
What?
This is my idea for the next couple of podcasts. Maybe we do miniskirt episodes on how to prepare for cons.
Sure.
I think we kind of assume that people go to these things like we do,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know that that's the case. So if you're interested in going to one of these, maybe these will be helpful for you, these little tips that we'll give out. And
that'd be awesome.
All right.
Okay. I'm Angela.
And I'm Jen.
And you've been listening to the Anomaly Podcast, where female and fandom converge. We like stars. All the stars in the sky. Especially the stars you give us on iTunes. To us, you are the biggest star in the cosmos. Go to iTunes and give us a rating. Thanks. You are feeling very, very sleepy. And what you really want to do is go to anomalypodcast.com, click on donate, and help support your favorite podcast.
Thank you for listening to Anomaly. If you like what you heard, please tell your friends, tweet or share a link, and spread the anomalous word. Stay up to date on all that's Anomaly. Subscribe to our newsletter by visiting anomalypodcast.com. Subscribe to our shows through iTunes, Zune, and BlackBerry stores, through Stitcher Smart Radio, and wherever podcasts are found. Join our community and meet anomalies just like yourself. Find them all on our Facebook group. Follow us on Twitter, Pinterest, and Goodreads. You can find our show notes, learn more about our hosts, shop our store, peruse our gallery, see our events calendar, and join our communities all at anomalypodcast.com. Please support the Anomaly you love by becoming an official sponsor of the Anomaly Podcast or consider a monthly donation. All donations go towards hosting and podcast upgrades. Every little bit is very much appreciated. If you can't afford to support us through sponsorship or donations, no worries. You can help us out by rating or reviewing our show through iTunes, Zune, BlackBerry, or Stitcher Smart Radio. Those stars help a lot. The bed music you hear in our show is by Kevin McLeod and JewelBeat.com. The original Anomaly theme song, television segment transition, and outro are by Angela's husband, Jim, and his old punk band, The Illuminati. Thank you so much for listening. Anomaly is copyright 2013. All rights reserved.
Gamma Quadrant Golf Clap.
Hello, I'm Greg, host of a podcast called Inappropriate Conversations. The show is breaking down barriers about discussing politics, sex, and religion. Society says we should keep them separated. I say come out and play. You'll find Inappropriate Conversations on iTunes in the politics section or at inappropriateconversations.podbean.com. Thanks for listening.
Music by Kevin McLeod.
Attention, attention, it's finally here, the first and only podcast dedicated to one of the most groundbreaking television series in history, MASH. Join the hosts of MASH 4077 Podcast, Kenny, Meds, and Al, as they discuss their thoughts episode by episode. They will also share with you some little-known behind-the-scenes information, trivia, and so much more. Find them on iTunes by searching MASH 4077 Podcast or online at www.mash4077.podbean.com.
Hi, this is Rick.
And this is Amy, and we are the hosts of Take Him With You,
the weekly podcast where we discuss life at the Geeky Moyers home, and then we talk about our faith and how it relates to the world around us. As a matter of fact, we love listening to the Anomaly podcast. It's way cool. Jen and Angela, you guys are just awesome. Or girls, I guess. They're girls, aren't they?
Yeah, and I appreciate geeky girls because I'm a rather geeky girl myself.
I wouldn't be married to you if you weren't.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I love Star Trek and heavy metal music and fun things like that.
I like reading and home and garden TV and quiet things, soft music.
Too bad.
Yeah.
But we do live together, and we have for almost 24 years.
Yep.
We're married.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get a chance, come take a listen to our very fun weekly podcast. You can find us on iTunes.
Uh-huh.
And
it's at takehimwithyou.com.
Yes, you're doing very well, honey. Keep going.
Okay, that's all it says. You can find us at takehimwithyou.com.
Or you can get us on iTunes as well. So okay. Do that. And thanks again, Jen and Angela, for your great podcast. Hopefully everybody will come check out Take Him With You after that.
Hello there. My name is Meds.
And this is David Frost.
You're not David Frost.
All right, I mean, this is Mark.
And we are the presenters... Mark?
All right, get on with it.
Okay. And we're the presenters of Waffle On Podcast. And we like to talk about...
crap.
TV broadcast between 1960 to 1999. Would you say it's crap?
Some of it.
Really?
Especially the British stuff. But we've already had a podcast about that, so let's move on from that.
Unbelievable. You can find us at http://... waffleon.podbean.com. Do not smile when I say the word colon.
Oh, I'm not.
The spectre of war and destruction came in the last months of 2287.
And now, we are all that remains, holding the line. This is Captain David Sheridan. God help us all.
Novo Babylonian, a new audio drama based around the hit TV series Babylon 5. Produced by FictionShed.com. Available now on iTunes or www.novo-b.com.
Sound, the final frontier.
These are the episodes of the podcast All Things Trek.
Our continuing mission to discuss strange Trek topics.
To seek out new thoughts and new Star Trek ideas.
To boldly rage where no one has raged before.
Tune in every week for the All Things Trek podcast, where we talk about everything related to Star Trek, from my favorite episodes to why Neelix should have been kicked off the ship in Voyager's first episode. Look for us at allthingstrek.com and on iTunes. Until then, remember, resistance is futile.